You don't have to make the case for what you believe. If somebody announces that it is part of his faith, the rest of society, whether of the same faith or another or of none, is obliged by ingrained custom to respect it without question. Respect it until the day it manifests itself in a horrible massacre, like the destruction of the World Trade Center or the London or Madrid bombings. Then there is a great chorus of disownings as clerics and community leaders, who elected them, by the way, line up to explain that this extremism is a perversion of the true faith. But how can there be a perversion of faith if faith, lacking objective justification, doesn't have any demonstrable standard to pervert? 10 years ago, Ibn Warraq, in his excellent book Why I'm Not a Muslim, made a similar point from the standpoint of a deeply knowledgeable scholar of Islam. Indeed, a good alternative title for Warraq's book might have been The Myth of Moderate Islam, which is the actual title of a more recent article in the London Spectator, 30th of July 2005, by another scholar, Patrick Suchdeo, director of the Institute for the Study of Islam and Christianity.
By far the majority of Muslims today live their lives without recourse to violence, for the Quran is like a pick-and-mix selection. If you want peace, you can find peaceable verses. If you want war, you can find bellicose verses.
Suchdeo goes on to explain how Islamic scholars, in order to cope with the many contradictions that they found in the Quran, developed the principle of abrogation, whereby later texts trump earlier ones. Unfortunately, the peaceable passages in the Quran are mostly early, dating from Muhammad's time in Mecca. The more belligerent verses tend to date from later, after his flight to Medina. The result is that
the mantra, Islam is peace, is almost 1400 years out of date. It was only for about 13 years that Islam was peace and nothing but peace. For today's radical Muslims, just as for the medieval jurists who developed classical Islam, it would be truer to say, Islam is war. One of the most radical Islamic groups in Britain, Al-Ghuraba, stated in the wake of the two London bombings, any Muslim that denies that terror is a part of Islam is kafir. A kafir is an unbeliever, in other words, a non-Muslim, a term of gross insult. Could it be that the young men who committed suicide were neither on the fringes of Muslim society in Britain, nor following an eccentric and extremist interpretation of their faith, but rather that they came from the very core of the Muslim community and were motivated by a mainstream interpretation of Islam?
More generally, and this applies to Christianity no less than to Islam, what is really pernicious is the practice of teaching children that faith itself is a virtue. Faith is an evil precisely because it requires no justification and brooks no argument. Teaching children that unquestioned faith is a virtue primes them, given certain other ingredients that are not hard to come by, to grow up into potentially lethal weapons for future jihads or crusades. Immunized against fear by the promise of a martyr's paradise, the authentic faith head deserves a high place in the history of armaments alongside the longbow, the warhorse, the tank, and the cluster bomb. If children were taught to question and think through their beliefs, instead of being taught the superior virtue of faith without question, it is a good bet that there would be no suicide bombers. Suicide bombers do what they do because they really believe what they were taught in their religious schools, that duty to God exceeds all other priorities, and that martyrdom in his service will be rewarded in the gardens of paradise. And they were taught that lesson not necessarily by extremist fanatics, but by decent, gentle, mainstream religious instructors who lined them up in their madrasas, sitting in rows, rhythmically nodding their innocent little heads up and down while they learned every word of the holy book like demented parrots. Faith can be very, very dangerous, and deliberately to implant it into the vulnerable mind of an innocent child is a grievous wrong. It is to childhood itself, and the violation of childhood by religion, that we turn in the next chapter.